Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host today. And today we have an exciting interview scheduled for you as we talk about the international church and what God is doing around the world. This is no longer the age of the denominational church. That's over. This is the age of the international church. The international church is really the gift of God to sustain the church in the 21st century. Certainly, the church is far more international. Our ability to communicate, our ability to get over to other countries 10 times better than it was even in the 1970s. So really, it's the international church that will sustain, and we can share our gifts. It's not just a one-way deal. It's a two-way exchange of gifts, and indeed, the whole body is sharing gifts and building itself up in the 21st century in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's essential that your local church and your family be plugged into the international church around the world in some way, shape, or form. One way is by reading the stories, watching the stories, telling the stories, sharing the stories. And dispatches from the front is a vital part of that effort around our country. And encourage you to get a worldwide picture of the kingdom of God in the Church of Jesus Christ in the present day. And that's what Tim has done as part of this ministry, Dispatches from the Front. And we're going to continue to handle those videos as part of the Generations ministry as well. Today, Tim Cassie, the author of a new book, A Company of Heroes, Portraits from the Gospel's Global Advance. Tim now joins us on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be back.
Tim, it's so good to be plugged into the international church, as I already mentioned. I've had, you know, opportunities to interact with probably brothers and sisters from 8 or 10 different countries in the last year. Just we have the ability to get out there and to communicate with what God is doing everywhere. It's encouraging. It builds us up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I think so often, I mean, one of the passages of Scripture that is just thrilling and motivating is Revelation 5:9, when John sees this future vision of people from every tribe and language and people and nation declaring, "Worthy is the Lamb," and that is actually unfolding right now. That's not like something that's going to happen. In the future. It will happen in the future, but it's actually as Christ is building his church, it is happening right now among peoples of all nations.
And that's bigger. That's bigger than anything Napoleon ever did or Caesar. This is big.
Yes,
we're
indeed.
Talking big here.
As Samuel Zwemer said, you know, Christ's kingdom has no borders.
Amen. Amen.
Every empire, every kingdom has had its borders, but Christ's kingdom has no borders.
Amen. And you've experienced that in just the last 20, 30 years of your travel. I mean, big time. You've seen the expanse and the wonder and the greatness and the power and the influence of this kingdom everywhere.
An enormous privilege to be a reporter. I'm just getting to see glimpses of his glory through the global church. But yes, it's been a privilege of a lifetime.
Well, you've written this book, A Company of Heroes, Portraits from the Gospel's Global Advance. You know, I just read that the Christian population worldwide has doubled since 1970. Can you believe that? It's doubled since 1970. Atheism has reduced by 20% since 1970, and the Christian influence, those who profess to be Christians, now twice what they were in 1970. Does that surprise you?
No, I mean there's population increase is part of that that figure, but there's also been extraordinary numerical increase of the churches in places that were once strongholds of Islam. Or you take the Chinese church, for example, perhaps the greatest numerical increase of the church in the history of the church is in China over the past 30 years. And that's been in the face of official opposition and sometimes fierce persecution. Mm-hmm. So, it's good to hear you bring that up. And I think it's also a good reminder because sometimes we can be so weighed down by the headlines.
Yes.
And we forget to lift up our eyes and see the power of the gospel in every setting. And so that the church, we need to be reminded the church is not in decline.
I keep thinking of the modus operandi that our Lord Jesus gave in the parable of the yeast. Do you remember how he spoke of the yeast being placed in the bread, and then it just sort of works its way into the nooks and crannies of the lump? And isn't that pretty much the best way to describe the modus operandi of this kingdom? You don't see it on the front page of the newspaper, do you?
Mm-mm, no, and I'm so glad you brought up that kingdom parable. I mean, these are like amazing pictures that the king is telling us, this is what my kingdom is like. And one of those is this parable of the leaven, that there is this quiet, pervasive work of the gospel that spreads. Mm-hmm. And it may not be the headline grabbing things, but Jesus is at work. His gospel is still powerful, and the church grows.
You've written the book, The Company of Heroes, Tim, and let's talk about that. You know, Hebrews 11 certainly gives us a litany of heroes. Why should we be reading the stories of the heroes?
Yeah. You know, this weekend I was at a conference and someone asked me, like, how did you get started in missions and what you're doing and that sort of thing? The very beginning, besides the grace of God in bringing me to himself, but beyond that, in just opening my eyes to the world and to Christ's power, was reading biographies, and especially the biography of Hudson Taylor, where I got a picture of a man that when he prayed, he actually believed that God was hearing him and would answer. His example inspired others, and so his biography has also inspired countless others to walk by faith and not by sight, and take risks for the sake of the gospel, and go to people who have yet to hear good news. So that was for me an important beginning. Mm-hmm. And so the examples of faithful men and women who've gone before us or who are with us now is an encouragement to follow their example, just as Paul said, follow my example. They give us examples to encourage us, to cause us to lift up our eyes and to see God through their experiences of faith. So I think it's an important way. And as you said, Hebrews 11 is sort of a pattern of that. And all of those heroes, as we would call them sometimes in that chapter, it's an unequal, unlikely company of heroes. It's because of they're not examples of human greatness. They're examples of God's greatness, mm-hmm. of grace in people's lives. And so all of those heroes are just pointing to the real hero of the story, and that's Jesus. When we get to Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith.
You bring out your own list of heroes that you've had the privilege of coming to know through the years of your travels in visiting the far reaches of this kingdom. And you're right that the heroes in the book disdain puffery. Their work is quiet, steady, often dull, and occasionally dangerous. It's a good way to describe heroes. I guess heroes really don't know that they are heroes, do they?
Right. I don't know how many people that I've wanted to share their stories and, you know, just sort of walk through their days with them, go spend time and travel and trek with them through the mountains or go to a village. And they would say, like, why do you want to tell my story? I'm not doing anything, I'm not doing anything special. I'm not doing anything unusual. And they don't even realize that, like, wow, you are pointing us to Christ in extraordinary ways. And what I'm often seeing is that the fruitfulness of a life of patient endurance, not people that are sort of hit and run operations, but people who are going and planting themselves among a people, giving them the scripture, opening the word, making disciples, gathering believers, and just repeating this pattern over and over. So, yeah, they don't usually think of themselves as anything special, but those are the ones actually I want to tell their stories, because they are also men and women of humility.
So much of the work that is done in the kingdom, the important work, the difficult work in the kingdom, is incredibly unspectacular. That's the way I like to put it. It really is unspectacular, and so it encourages a humility, doesn't it? And a dependence upon God.
Yes. Yeah. And leaven and mustard seeds are unspectacular.
Yeah.
But look how they illustrate what God does through his people.
Well, let's speak of some of the heroes covered in your book, A Company of Heroes, Tim. Aaron in North Africa, his friend was in prison. As I recall, he had discipled this young man. He was in prison. Then he came into the grip of fear. Certainly fear is not unfamiliar territory for those who are out on the front lines of the field. How did he deal with that? Talk about Aaron a little bit.
Yeah, Aaron and Saeed and others there that I wrote about really taught me some very powerful lessons about how to face fear, because all of us are fearful people. And you may be afraid of something that I'm not afraid of at all, but all of us, we know what fear feels like. And that's why I think the most often repeated commandment in the Bible is fear not. So we all have to face fear, and that's what I saw with Aaron. And so when his friend was taken to jail, and he wasn't sure the outcome of all of that, and he said that he told me that whenever fear's grip got a hold of him, he determined that he would immediately go out and find someone to tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Like speaking Jesus into their life, speaking the gospel into their life was how he was going to respond to fear. Rather than clam up and hunker down, he was actually going to just to go out, if it's finding the waiter at the coffee shop or the superintendent of the apartment building or someone on the street, he was going to go and speak Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And so I was just so deeply impacted by hearing how he was responding. And another time while I was with Aaron, there was a time of some real concern for some of our brothers who were going out to a difficult place and to take New Testaments and distribute them. And they were taking, real risks. And he just said to me, there's this this time where there's this constant struggle in my heart between the words of fear and the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so acknowledging there's that fear and there's the words of fear and yet going back to the word of God. So right. So that's how Aaron would steady himself and steadies himself in these challenging situations.
One of my favorite lines in your book, Tim, is courage like fear is contagious. And I think you're referring to Mei Li in China when you said that. That's good. it spreads, doesn't it? In other words, once you have somebody who stands up, okay, we're not going to fear here, we're going to move ahead in courage, that makes all the difference, yeah. Doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And it goes back to the Hebrews 11 illustration of all the men and women who are pointing to Christ, and in Hebrews 12:1 we see that we have this great cloud of witnesses. So that cloud of witnesses they give us courage and not fear. So certainly Aaron, Saeed, certainly Mei Li, this dear Chinese sister. Inspire courage rather than the virus of fear.
And it can be either brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. In the case of Mei Li, what was it that was most impressive about Mei Li? I think she she worked in Mongolia as well. Is that right?
She worked in the region of China, of Inner Mongolia.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
Mongolia is, there's sometimes it used to be called Outer Mongolia, but the uh-huh. country of Mongolia. And then there's a region that is ethnically Mongol in China that's part of China. So it's a mm-hmm. it's a whole other geography and history lesson. But anyway, she has worked in that part of China called Inner Mongolia.
Mm-hmm. And she has certainly done yo woman work in that area of the world. Tell us a little bit about Michael in Ethiopia. There's a good story in your book, A Company of Heroes, how he turned from communist to Christ follower, from killing to tending to the orphans. Must have been an amazing story of how Jesus is alive and well on planet Earth and he's doing stuff.
Yes, indeed. And see the impact of a transformed life.
Yeah.
For this man, as you pointed out, goes from being a fervent communist to being a disillusioned atheist, and then just a remarkable story of his escape from certain death, becoming an outcast and a refugee, and then a pastor just showing love to this man who had just in ragged clothes and hadn't bathed in so long and had been on the run, and to give him a meal and to show him respect and love, and then share the gospel with him. And this one outcast of a man comes to faith. And then God would just use him in extraordinary ways to love the orphans in his country. And he has had, his ministry has been nation shaking. But it all came down to a pastor who just showed love to this man and gave him the gospel. So I love to see that ripple effect of one life. And it'll have, his life will have generational impact far beyond Michael's time here on Earth.
And it reminded me a little bit of the story of Molly in Kenya. It's in video form out there now. But just how the indigenous pastors are doing so much now. It's not so much the white missionaries. I think that's what you're chronicling more than anything else, is you're just showing the power of the gospel and the multinational effect of the kingdom of God in the lives of
Absolutely.
Indigenous workers. I think the largest missionary sending agencies in the world are everywhere now. In other words, they're not just based in America, they're not based in Scotland or England. It's everywhere. They're everywhere now.
Exactly. Missions is not just, it's not from the West to the rest. So I like to think about how Christ is calling men and women to himself from every nation. So he's sending them out to every nation. And so it's not just what we're doing. It's the Great Commission and not the Great American Commission. And he's calling and sending people all over. And in Ethiopia is just one example of that, how he is using his people there to take the gospel further and further into hard places.
Tim, beyond anybody else, I think you have had the experience of interacting with the international church around the world. The every tribe and nation vision is coming together big time in our generation. It's exciting. It's really exciting. You know, this promise of what the church was to look like is now materializing right before our eyes. And so I guess my question is, as you have come to meet the International Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, how has this changed you, your perspective, and your life in these travels?
God has grown bigger in my view. It's just my view. He's already big and great beyond our imagining and our words to speak it. But God can sometimes sort of shrink in our estimation when we're not really focused on who he is, who he really is, and and know him through his word and through the power of the Spirit. But as I've seen his gospel cross every kind of barrier, certainly God has grown bigger and bigger. He's been magnified in my life and before me. And the other thing is just to see that the gospel works in every kind of setting. How I have seen his gospel in bringing people who were not just nominal Muslims, but devout, committed Muslims, or devout, committed Hindus, or devout, committed atheists. I just read, a friend sent me a report a while back of this man in Russia who, just in amazement, he said, he said, you know, God, I am amazed that I am a Christian, because I was such a convinced atheist. You know, he's just like, how did I get here? Well, because salvation is the work of God from start to finish.
Kind of feels like a resurrection here.
Yes, yes. It's like he's been born a second time. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, friends, this is a critical book. It's a new release, and these are Frontline Reports from around the world about what God is doing. These are the works of God around the world now, real time. And the author is Tim Cassis, written this book, A Company of Heroes, Portraits from the Gospels, Global Advance. And don't forget also to pick up Dispatches from the Front as well, offered on the Generations website. Generations.org is where you can get these resources. Tim, thanks for joining us. May the Lord bless you and continue fighting the good fight, my friend.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Good to talk with you.
This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.